You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I am joined again by my beautiful wife and beautiful daughter, Tammy and Jesse. Welcome back, ladies.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so you guys know what a geek I am when it comes to studying guidelines. And this is really kind of the difference between, you know, when it comes to mortgage guidelines. If you just walk into a bank and have the average administrative person sitting at the desk or the whole push button get mortgage thing, okay, it's going to be the difference is that you're not going to have somebody that's really going to understand what the rules are. Mm-hmm. And so I can give you guys some examples of a couple obscure rules of some things that have changed recently that I'd guarantee you, like anybody listening now, quiz any mortgage person you know and see if they know any of these items.
Right. Well, the one that was interesting to me was about renting out a current residence.
Yeah, okay. So here's where this rule is. So let's say if you own a house right now and you want to be able to buy the next house without selling your current home. Mm-hmm. Well, back when the economy collapsed back in 2008, they put a rule into place called the buy and bail rule. And it was put in place because people would get a loan on the next house and then they let their current house go to foreclosure. So they put a rule into place to make that really difficult. So what they would do is say you had to have at least 30% equity in your current home, and you basically couldn't count any rent on your current residence. Okay, well, that just changed recently. They've done away with that, and now we actually can count a lease. Okay, so let's say you want to rent your house out. You can go ahead and find that tenant and have them sign a lease, and we can use that lease income to offset the payment on your current home so that now you have enough income freed up to be able to qualify for that next house.
That's kind of scary, though.
Well,
I mean, I get the practicality of it on the transition for the homeowner to, you know.
What is scary about that to you?
I guess on a lender's side, if I were the lender, that's not guaranteed money to me. Like,
yeah.
A person's going to, you know, you just never know when a renter's not going to pay their rent.
Sure. And that's where somebody needs to be financially stable enough that if the tenant doesn't make their payment, that you're still responsible for it and you still have to pay it.
I guess it's like...
You've had rental properties before, right?
I've not based a new purchase on that. I just don't even take that into the mix.
Well, but you have to a certain extent. You already owned the big house and then mm-hmm. you bought the rental. Well, if the rental mm-hmm. goes vacant, you're still making that extra payment.
Well, that's true.
So this is really the same thing.
It's typically
a smaller house where somebody's buying up to a bigger home.
Okay.
And they're going to use the lease to help offset that. And they need to be very prepared to make two house payments if necessary.
I guess as a lender, you would still make sure that they qualify.
Right. Absolutely. They need to have an appropriate amount of money in reserve and things like that. But we can now count that lease income immediately.
That's good to know for
people.
Definitely
good to know. So here's another one. So let's say if you have an FHA loan, FHA loans can only be for a primary residence.
So describe what an FHA loan
is. FHA loan is most common loan that people get as a first-time home buyer. Only takes 3.5% down. The interest rates are fantastic. They're not that strict when it comes to credit scores on FHA loans. But it's only for owner-occupied residences. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people have an FHA loan. Then they go buy a different house, and they keep the one with the FHA loan as a rental. Okay. Well, now a lot of people think that you can't refinance that house because now it's an investment property and you can't get an FHA loan on an investment property.
Okay.
But most people don't understand how the guidelines work on that. We actually can do, it's called a streamlined refinance on an FHA loan, even as an investment property, we can do it. And I bet any mortgage person you talk to won't even know that rule.
Well, they need to call you at Cornerstone then.
Absolutely. Reach out to me if you're in that situation. You have an FHA loan on a property that's a rental, and you want to look at doing a streamlined refinance. We can do it without even having an appraisal.
Right.
We don't even need an appraisal on the property.
And then also, if you're getting ready to buy up, Doug can work with you on
right. You can one. You can keep the FHA loan on that property. Mm-hmm. And get a conventional loan on the next one because you can only have one FHA loan at a time.
That makes sense.
Right. Yeah, definitely makes sense. So let's here's an even more obscure one. Okay. This is an example of even a loan officer that reads the guidelines, I can promise you they still will not know this rule. Okay. So if you have somebody that has a salaried job And then they have a side business that's self-employment.
Okay.
Very common that they'll have a loss on that self-employment business.
That is true. I've had that happen.
So they'll use it just to create a tax write-off, and they'll have a loss on it. And frequently, people can't qualify because of that loss in their self-employment. Well, there's a little-known thing in the rules. You won't even find it in the guidelines. It actually dug through the commentary section from Fannie Mae and found this, that if somebody has a salaried job, I can ignore their self-employed loss. So that's something that can help a lot of people get loans that maybe couldn't qualify before. And that's just one of 100 different examples of things that I've found in the guidelines that totally play by the rules that are put out there, but helps people get into homes. And if you want to take advantage of this, reach out to me right away. You can text me or call me, 314-472-DOUG, 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684, or visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. And we'll post a few of these rules on there. So smartwithyourmoney.com or reach out and text me. So, ladies, it's been a great show.
Thanks, Jesse.
Want to let you know I'm very proud of you and love you. And you've set a great example for the young people that are listening.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad. And I hope that I helped some people out there, too.
I think you did. So becoming a financial juggernaut is as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., modeling advice to the experts, and implementing your personal plan. We will see you next week.